This show is part of the Pod Tyrant Network. For more podcasts, interviews, and content, visit podtyrant.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who has a star in his eye and water dripping from his shirt, Adam Farmer.
Stars in my eyes.
Stars? You're only supposed to have one.
I don't have a messed up iris. I have stars because Doctor Who is back.
Yes, Doctor Who is back. Finally, fast. Well, since we've been waiting, it seems like forever, but we did get a Christmas special, but it's like really back now. They teased us with a Christmas special and it was kind of weird with superheroes and stuff, but this is real Doctor Who. It's back.
Yeah, I mean, this is real Doctor Who. It's not teasers, it's not trailers, it's not speculation. Like, it stuck up on us. We kept on saying that we were going to fill in our downtime with different things, and I know on my side stuff kept on cropping up, and I'm pretty sure on your side it was the same way. And hey, we made it. We made it through the season.
We did. I think we threw in a couple episodes here and there, you know, covering news or, you know, the Christmas special, obviously, we covered. But yeah, we didn't do any of the Second Doctor animation like we kept saying we were going to try to do. We had all these grand ideas of things, but I think we were just really waiting for the real thing to come back. And now it's back.
Yeah, and now we're, like, weekly.
Yeah, now we got to do this thing weekly. Get back on the ball.
Yeah, we're everything's coming back alive. Facebook is back. Twitter's back. Things are coming back alive.
And we have a lot to cover because there are some news items. There's a full episode we're going to review. We're going to try to do it all in under an hour. So we might speed through this thing. Maybe this episode might go a little long.
A little bit. There is a lot. The floodgates have opened.
But let's see. Where's a good place to start? I don't know if the spoilers thing is a good thing to jump into. What about?
Yeah, let's move past that.
All right. Here's the big news. I think the most surprising news to me that has happened since we recorded is that we are getting an actor that's coming back to Doctor Who. Somebody from the previous era of Doctor Who, pre-Moffat, Davies era actor, which we don't, you know, you don't get too much crossover between Davies Doctor Who and Moffat Doctor Who. You know, we have River, who's kind of the big crossover, but beyond that, we haven't gotten a lot of crossover. So now we have another big one.
Yeah, honestly, I was a little shocked to learn that the character that's coming back is coming back. I know that there was some mention of by Moffat at some panel that he was on, some comic convention, where he said pretty much that something like this was going to happen and it was going to melt your brain. And pretty darn close. It's pretty incredible. I know that you and I have gone back and forth on message here and there, just trying to figure out how we both felt about it. I think initially I was on the more negative side, but after seeing him show up in the teaser, I think I'm sold. I think I'm ready for this.
So the news we were talking about is John Sim is returning as the Master. So John Sim, the guy who played the Master toward the end of Tennant's run, and I guess even not, you know, he did a thing even before the end, you know, where he was the president and all that stuff, or the prime minister. Right? Was he prime minister or president?
Yeah. President.
President of the world.
Yeah.
They copied him a million times.
Pretty much.
So John Sim, who is kind of like our era's Master before Missy came along, is coming back as the Master, which is interesting because we already have a Master.
Right. And I mean, we mentioned that we're going to talk about this later on, but the teaser that they gave us for this entire series, and they show Missy earlier on in the teaser, and then they end up with John Sim at the end of the teaser. So it's interesting that we have both masters at once within the same series. I'm interested to know where they're going to fall in the episodes.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're going to be together. Right? That's they're going to be on screen together, so there's going to be more than one master in the same episode. Which I actually am a little disappointed. I kind of hoped that he would kind of face off against Capaldi on his own. But I mean, like Missy, you could take her in small doses. She's kind of a over the top kind of character. Because John Sim played the master pretty over the top as well. They're not going to be able to kind of, tone each other down. You're going to have two people that are just, you know, crazy over the top in the way they cover this character. So I don't know. That might be a little too much.
Right. There is no good cop, bad cop. There is no like high end and low end when it comes to the spectrum, having both of them on the screen at once. It's going to go 100 miles per hour from the moment that one of them is on screen, let alone having both of them on screen at the same time. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. But I mean, it's fairly positive. I mean, did we expect anything less from Moffat going into his final series? It seems like he's pulling out as many stops as he possibly can.
Yes. Yes, so I'm actually on board with this idea of him coming back. I really enjoyed him and Tennant together, so I'm interested to see how they use him. And I always like kind of the callbacks to the older stuff, the nostalgia of, you know, however many years ago that was for us as we're watching Doctor Who, and kind of our, you know, that's our classic Who, I guess, in a way, which is kind of crazy to think that it's been that long ago. It's been on TV, but you know, we started out with, Tennant and I think the first, I'm trying to think now if Tennant was the first Doctor I watched, but no, I think I did watch Eccleston first.
Yeah, I started with Eccleston, but even with this master, with John Sim, there's so much emotion tied up in his character because of that being the end of Tennant's run. That's just, I don't know. There's a lot that ties into him as a character in my memory.
And he goes in, he ties into the whole Gallifrey, you know, thing, and the end of time, and the episode where we see the Doctor kind of finally defeat, you know, Gallifrey and shut down that portal, but then it all comes back anyways later on. But he's in that whole mix. You know, he was involved in all of that. So I'll be interested to see how they tie that in with, you know, this Doctor has been more connected to Gallifrey than any previous Doctor that we've seen in the modern series. So it'll be very interesting to see how they tie it all in.
And there's the drum beat. I mean, his episodes were so well done. So many different aspects of his episodes stick out to me. And it all started with the Utopia episode, right? Where he was the older master with the fob watch.
Yes, which is so cool. I guess that's true. We did to see the previous incarnation, then we saw John Sim and then Missy, and now we get to see John Sim again. So it's like the bad version of the Doctor. You know, and I like that they're bringing him back, because they've brought previous Doctors back, so why not bring a previous Master back?
Right.
What would be really cool, which there's no way they would ever do this, and we would have already heard the rumors if it was going to happen, is if they actually had David Tennant come back as well.
That is the one disappointing thing about Doctor Who, is that anything that big is going to happen, anything that's big going to happen, We already know about it, right? There's no way that they can keep anything under wraps for very long.
It is kind of sad, because I do wish there were times when they could keep something under wraps. You know, either the death of a companion or a regeneration of a Doctor, you know, that kind of stuff. We know it so far in advance, because for whatever reason, this production either doesn't care about letting spoilers leak, or they're just really bad about keeping stuff secret.
And this might be a discussion for another time as to whether it is BBC, if it's just the nature of Doctor Who, or if it is Moffat himself. I'd be curious, as Chibnall takes over next series, series 11, if we see the same pattern where things are consistently out in the open, like 10 episodes ahead of time.
I almost wonder if it's a British TV thing where it's kind of like us Americans, we're so precious with our spoilers, and we get all, you know, sad when we get spoiled on stuff. But I don't know if they care as much. They want to know when a doctor's going to go. You know, they want to get excited about the casting of the next doctor. You know, they want to get that big announcement and have some big special show where they have the new actor come out, even though the next series isn't even on yet. You know, I feel like they revel in that. And it's part of kind of what Doctor Who is these big event moments where they're announcing the next companion, they're announcing the next doctor. You're never going to see a surprise of like, oh wow, that doctor just regenerated and here's a new actor's face. Like, we know, you know, we knew Capaldi was coming way before Matt Smith ever left the show.
Right.
And I think this will be the same case, you know, with probably the next doctor and the next companion, since we know that Bill's not sticking around for the whole or beyond this season, right?
That is the rumor floating out there that she will be done. It's still somewhat unconfirmed at this point.
Okay, so still rumor, but I guess that kind of segues into, there are rumors about who the next doctor is going to be. So
there are rumors.
We should at least mention it. You know, it's definitely rumor. Nothing has been officially announced, but people seem pretty convinced this is going to be the guy.
Yeah, and there's, I don't know if we want to drop a spoiler warning about any of this. What's your feeling on that? Is it fairly out in the open, you feel?
I'd say spoiler warning, you know, for now. Like, hey, if you're listening to this and you somehow can magically, you know, stay away from this news until the next season comes out. there's definitely spoiler warning as far as who the doctor might be.
Yeah.
So maybe fast forward like 5 minutes.
Cool. Yeah, so not only are there rumors about who it might be, but there's also rumors as far as when the individual might show up in the series. And that might be a surprise to us as well, which again, rumors, but it's possible that we already know ahead of time that we might not have to wait as long as what we once thought we had to wait in order to see the new doctor. But anyways, enough with the talking in circles. Do you want to drop the name?
Sure. So here's the rumor. This guy, and I'm not super familiar with him. I have seen him in, I think, one thing. But his name is Chris Marshall. Is reportedly going to be the next doctor, if rumors are to be believed. And these rumors, you know, they seem like the type of rumors where people are already ready to announce it.
Yeah, and here's what gets me, because I know that some of our listeners of the show have jumped on us about this before. A lot of the news that comes out about Doctor Who ahead of time comes from The Mirror, which, again, it's a tabloid, so it's not always the most reliable source. But it's interesting to see how many other Doctor Who sources pick up on this and they run with it, right? They're not afraid to jump on board with these exact same things. And this is one of those where Chris Marshall, his name has shown up, and so many other sources have basically said, oh no, this is what has been said, and it seems fairly legit to them. So yeah, take it with a grain of salt, but I haven't seen him in much. Other than watching his face pop up on random Netflix shows. But yeah, it's interesting to see that, again, we are getting a younger male doctor.
White. kind of a ginger.
Possibly. Ginger-ish. I don't know if we could necessarily consider. Yeah, exactly. Ish.
I don't know. I've seen him in stuff where he's definitely, I think he would be of the ginger persuasion. I think he looks kind of, he could be a Weasley.
Oh, Weasley.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, he's got kind of that dirty red hair, you know, kind of a dirtier, you know, not in a bad way, but like, you know what I mean? A darker red, but there's mixed. It's kind of mixed in there. A little bit of reddish hair.
So gut check time. Any disappointment just with the initial thought there?
Yes. Not that he's a ginger, but the fact that he's this guy.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I saw him in what's the movie? It's kind of a popular movie that has like Hugh Grant in it. And it's one of those movies that has like a million actors all with like separate storylines that all kind of converge. You know those kind of movies?
Yeah,
What is it called? Is it
Love
Love
Act.
Actually?
Is he really from Love
Yeah,
Actually?
and he plays this real dopey guy that all he wants to do is go to America and get laid. That's his entire goal of the entire movie.
Okay,
And he's
okay.
like young. I guess in the movie he's probably supposed to be playing kind of a college age guy, kind of frat type. He's convinced that, you know, he can't find any women in England, so he's gonna go to the US and that's where he's gonna find his gold mine. Yeah, it was interesting. And so that's my only you know, experience with this actor is that one movie. And I didn't like the movie that much. Plus, I didn't like the role he was playing, so I don't have a very good taste in my mouth for this guy. So it's just kind of like, eh, you know. I mean, hopefully he plays the doctor much different than he played this guy, because oh, God forbid, that would be horrible. We don't need that kind of doctor. He's
Yeah,
supposed to be
no.
the cleverest man in the room.
Right.
So, but I will say this: I haven't seen him in much else, and I know he's in a show called Death in Paradise on BBC One, where I've never seen that show, but I have seen an image from that show, and the way he looks in that show, it looks a little more serious of a character. So maybe I need to watch some of that to kind of get a better idea of what this guy can bring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to pass judgment. Again, rumor, hearsay, we're a long ways out. I have really no foundational knowledge on who he is or how he seems in other things that he's done. But my initial gut reaction was slight disappointment. I don't know, I think I've hyped myself up to see a doctor that breaks the mold. One that is different than what we have seen from the doctor in the past, be it gender-wise or be it ethnicity, what have you. I was ready for something that was different than what we've seen. I thought it would be a great move for the show, and I thought it would be an interesting take on the character. So like my initial gut reaction was slight disappointment, looking for something a little bit different, but I'm gonna reserve my judgment for now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're right. Just a rumor. Have no idea. Once we find out, we get confirmation that this guy's gonna actually be the guy, we might get into some deeper speculation or concern.
And we might have to actually jump on Netflix and watch something he's in.
Yes, I will now do a search for everything he's ever been in and try to watch a couple things, because I can't have just that one role as the only thing I've seen this guy do. Otherwise, I'm gonna hate him.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, so all right. I think we're good on that then. Spoilers over. Well, no, wait. So you said there was also timing spoilers for this.
Yeah.
So we'll keep the spoiler alert going, 'cause this I think is the bigger spoiler than who the actor might be, is, you know, 'cause this would be telling as far as when Capaldi is going to die. Assuming that's what happens to make him regenerate. Although they said his regeneration's gonna be different this time. That's what Capaldi said. Did you hear that quote?
Yeah, I did see the quote that the regeneration was going to be different, that he was going to go down as a fighter, whatever that might mean. And now that we are talking through all of this, I'm realizing that we have quite a few rumors that we wanted to talk about that are actually conflicting. So I'm
Okay.
not entirely sure because both of them. So we have two sets of rumors. We have one as far as who the new doctor is going to be and when that new doctor is going to be showing up. And then we have another rumor of as far as what's taking place in the Christmas special. Both of them are coming from the mirror and they
And they
conflict.
conflict. Well,
So
we were warned by
now I'm very confused as to the validity of any of this.
Our listener that keeps sending us Facebook messages every time we talk about mirror stuff, he probably stopped listening a long time ago.
Yeah.
He's so frustrated at this point. Like, I keep telling you guys. Although, I will say this. A lot of the stuff the mirror has been reporting does actually come true. So,
Doctor Who is that crazy.
But, sure, let's hear the conflicting rumors. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, so the conflicting rumors. The first one, it has to do with the timing of the 13th Doctor showing up. So, supposedly, Chris Marshall. And that rumor states that the Doctor's regeneration is going to take place at the end of the series, not during the Christmas special. So there was some thought that Capaldi would make it to the Christmas special, and then there we would be greeted with another regeneration as a Christmas special. So we would see him regenerate prior to the Christmas special, and then Chris Marshall would be the Doctor for the Christmas special. That was rumor number one. And how it conflicts is that there was a new rumor that came out really this morning, about 13 hours ago, about a classic Doctor Who character, a classic Doctor showing up in the Christmas special and being with Capaldi, which the conflicting part is that Capaldi supposedly wasn't supposed to be in the Christmas special. so that's, I guess we pick our rumor to get more excited about at this point, because the classic Doctor Who character that was supposed to be showing up in the Christmas special was none other than Hartnell. The first Doctor was supposed to be joining Capaldi. Obviously, it's not Hartnell himself, as he's no longer with us. But the individual who played Hartnell in The Adventures in Time and Space, is that correct?
Yes.
Which was Bradley. Is that
David Bradley?
David Bradley. There's his first name. Yeah. So the rumor has it is that he would be showing up in the Christmas special along with Capaldi, which Capaldi has already talked about his love of classic Doctor Who. And there's the little nod, as we'll get into it with this episode, of having a picture of Susan on his desk, which some are saying, hey, that kind of confirms this rumor to a point. Why would he have Susan on his desk if we aren't going to get a little bit more, a few more things tied to the first Doctor? And with how well of a job David Bradley did with The Adventures in Time and Space playing Hartnell, it just makes perfect sense. And then tying it back, believe it or not, to the 50th anniversary special, where we got the infamous Capaldi eyebrows as he was in his TARDIS, and then the first Doctor showing up in his TARDIS, and all the other Doctors showing up in their TARDISes, tying it back into that. So yeah, there's all sorts of rumors floating around. Which one do you like more, though? Which one gets you more excited? An earlier regeneration or Hartnell, the first Doctor showing back up?
I think I'd like to see I always like to see Doctor team-ups. And even if it's not the same actor, I know in the original series, actually, they had a Doctor special that Hartnell was no longer alive at that time, and they had a different actor play him. So this would be, I think, the third actor to play him in the show. But I think that Bradley did a good job in Adventure in Space and Time. And because they've already established him as playing that part, I think people would accept it more readily. So yeah, I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I think this one gets me more excited as well.
Now, I think the actress that played Susan is still alive.
Oh.
So could they possibly have an older Susan show up and then have him show up? So we can get the infamous grandfather.
I think I could do without that.
That's all she shows up for. She comes into the room. Grandfather! And then just leaves.
I honestly, I couldn't help but laugh again with this episode when her picture's on his desk. I couldn't help but laugh because that's all I hear every time I see any picture of her. All I hear is grandfather.
The only two, you know, his two companions that he chose to have on his desk is River Song and Susan. Of all the companions you've had, Doctor, that's the one you choose. I guess that's the only one that's truly family.
I was gonna say they're family, right?
Yeah, I guess.
He could have included his in-laws, right? Have Amy and Rory.
Yeah, they're family, right? Yeah.
In-laws. But, it works. I don't know. Like, for me, the excitement of having this potentially happen in the Christmas special, and then in true Moffat fashion of, like, having this huge, enormous distance between stories and then tying them together, that always excites me. So if that is the reality where we not only get David Bradley playing William Hartnell, playing the first Doctor, Capaldi, and tying it back to the 50th anniversary special, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm shady about these. I'm not sure. I'm not going to jump in and believe these quite yet. Now, the casting of what's his name? Chris Marshall?
Was that Chris Marshall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I actually kind of believe. I feel like there's got to be good reason why everybody's so sure about it. So there probably is something to back that up. So that won't surprise me. But the timing of the Doctor's death and them bringing back the first Doctor, those are two things. I'm going to need a little bit more time before I'm going to jump on those bandwagons.
Okay, we'll give it. I thought, honestly, when I saw it pop up this morning, I thought, you know what? This is just something in the mirror. No one else is going to pick it up. And it slowly crept its way across the internet. Again, that could be totally because no one wants to be considered out of the loop. So everybody's just carrying the story. But we'll see what happens.
Well, the only other things I think we had to talk about news-related is the Season 10 teaser and the Smile promo picks, but I think maybe we'll save those till after we talk about the first episode because they are covering stuff that happens after the first episode.
Sounds good.
So we can jump into our review of the pilot.
Yes.
Which I thought was a pretty good title considering, you know, that's typically what the first episode of a new television show is called, the pilot. So I thought that was a clever thing to call the first episode of a TV season, especially with a new companion, because it did almost feel like a fresh new show.
It honestly did. I was very surprised with how different it felt from the very get-go.
It did. That is something maybe we can talk about a little bit after we get through the stats here. But yeah, so this is let's see, writer Stephen Moffat, director Lawrence Goh, and the producer Peter Bennett. Series 10, story number 263. Not that anybody's keeping count. And
obviously someone is.
I love that. So we're reading these stats from the TARDIS data core, which is kind of our fallback on, you know, all the information that we don't know right off the top of our heads. And I love that they say the main enemy is sentient oil puddle, because that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So yeah, but okay. So let's talk about the title or slash the fact that this felt like a new series or a new beginning for the Doctor. I thought it really had the feel, even though this Doctor is a Doctor we've seen already, it really had that feel of the 11th Hour to me, where the tone just was different. It felt like a new show. Like the Doctor is meeting a new companion. You know, the companion's learning about the Doctor and what he is and the TARDIS. And I know we've seen that before with companions that come in, you know, with an existing Doctor. But for whatever reason, because of where the Doctor was and the fact that he'd just been teaching for the past 50 years, I guess, it felt like a new show, which I loved.
Yeah, I mean we have those elements that you mentioned where Doctor, new companion, all of that. But there was something even more production-wise that felt different. I don't know if it was how close they were getting with some of the shots that they were taking or the angles that they were shooting at. Something fundamentally felt different about the show itself, not only just the story.
Especially if you're thinking about it backed up to the Christmas special, the last thing we saw, it just production-wise felt completely different. You know, the Christmas special, and you know, the Christmas special is maybe not the best thing to compare it to because I think they were going for a certain look and motif that was a little more bizarre. But this episode really did. Yeah, you're right. The look and feel of everything just felt different.
There was even something about the colors of the episode. There were times where I mentioned to my wife on the couch next to me, I'm like, just look at the coloring of it. Like, there was just a different overall feel to the episode. It felt different than any episode I have in my mind of Doctor Who up to this point. It's interesting that you should mention the 11th hour, because there was the headline, I ended up publishing it to our Facebook page, where they said this was the best first episode of Doctor Who in recent memory. And we've talked so much about the 11th hour as being that, like, that is a foundational episode for you, and it slowly has become a foundational episode for me. And yet this, like you mentioned, had almost that same feel to it, where it was just like, dang, the Doctor is here. Like, this is who his character is in so many different ways. As there was a conversation taking place, and then all of a sudden Bill looks out the window and she sees the Doctor sprinting across the university lawn. Like, those different elements, that it was just unique. I'm hoping that the same style, the same feel carries forward, because it wasn't only those story elements, it was overall production in my mind that felt different. It felt very down to earth, and yet very, I don't know, it was different. I liked it.
It was almost like this should have been the introduction of Capaldi as the Doctor. This type of episode is a perfect intro to a new Doctor. You know, maybe they should have saved it, you know, but I'm glad, you know, because Capaldi's had some good, I know, even his first episode. So, I mean, I thought that was a solid episode for him. I was happy with his entrance into the show, but then I see this episode, I'm like, this is even better. This would have been a better version of him, you know, kind of becoming the Doctor. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and maybe that's it, because for so many of the past episodes that we had, like, there was this struggle internally for Capaldi's Doctor where he had no idea who he was, right? Am I a good man? And then he had Clara who is treating him like a puppy and, like, dragging him along and trying to convince him while she's still struggling. Like, I felt like this was the first episode where it was like, he knows who he is from the very get-go, right? He has this time where he's just been by himself teaching. And maybe that's a difference. This is one of the first episodes where we don't have this huge internal struggle of Capaldi. He is the Doctor at this point. He knows who he is.
He just needed to get rid of Clara. Yeah,
and have his memory wiped of everything that ever happened.
She's not good for any man. You know, Danny Pink learned the hard way. And the Doctor, you know, once the Doctor forgot about Clara, everything was clear to him. So
the story now makes sense.
Yeah. She was toxic. But we get a new companion.
Yes.
In Bill. What did you think about the introduction of Bill?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few things. If I'm being totally honest, there were a few things that one thing in particular that I really didn't care for. Just the way that they presented her character. And I might be reading too much into it. She seemed very needy when it comes to relationships. There was just, like, I don't know. It was very, yeah. For some reason, that seemed to be out of place with her character overall. That said, like, I was really excited about her from the very first random conversation they have, where she's talking about her experience of seeing someone she liked and feeding them chips, and then all of a sudden she realizes that she fed them too many chips, and the Doctor's like, what does this have to do with anything? And she's like, I have no idea, I was hoping something would develop. Like, that to me was just such an amazing introduction to who Bill was, and then it fleshed it out a little bit more as the episode progressed. And again, the way that she was just like pursuing Heather so much, and it was like, I don't understand why there's this pursuit of Heather so much, but I liked her character overall. I don't know, maybe I'm totally off base there. Did you think she was a little needy?
I mean, I didn't think about it, but now that you're bringing it up, you're right. She did seem like the type of person that maybe is the kind of person that is always seeking a relationship, you know, the type of person that would need someone else in their life to feel complete. But that's a tip, you know, that's a type of person, you know, and I don't mind it being represented in a companion. It would make sense for someone like that to follow the doctor, you know. I think
what you just said there, like, slides the cornerstone in place in my mind.
Did I fix it, like, for you?
I mean, in a way, yeah, because, like, that is the type of person who would probably go with the doctor. Is it really any different than Rose then, I guess? Like, she had a relationship with Mickey, who, like, even though he just wanted to watch football constantly, like, she was still with him, and the doctor filled that void of, like, having that person who actually valued her. So I guess, like, in a way, is it really any different than Rose? Probably not. I think you might have just, like, put pieces in place in my mind with just that one simple phrase, Aaron.
That's what I do, Adam.
That's what you do.
But
that's what you do.
I had said previously that, based on just seeing her in previews and even in interviews, that I felt like she had elements of Rose, Martha, and Donna. And after seeing this episode, I stick firmly by that. I think she really does. She's a mix of those three characters to me.
Yeah.
I think even with the relationship and the clinginess, that's kind of a Martha thing. But then she's got kind of the sarcasm where she can go back and forth with the doctor, and that's a Donna thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then Narva. Rose, it's more like the type of person she is, the standing that she has, and, you know, her age range, and kind of she obviously seems like a little bit more of a lower class. You know, she's not a high class person like Clara was, not in a negative way, low class, but just, you know, in her standing and, you know, probably, you know, how much money she makes, type of job she has. So, yeah, I think it's a nice mix of different previous companions we've seen before. But I think she worked really well. I actually really enjoyed her in her first episode.
Yeah, and while she has those similarities, and I can totally see where you're going there, she definitely feels like she is her own unique companion rooted within our current time and culture. Like, she is where we are currently. There were so many things that she said and just the way that she presented herself where it was like, it was totally relatable. Right? Just the way that she spoke about, I mean, she mentioned Netflix, for goodness sakes. Like, she is a product of our time that we are here. And again, to me, that just roots Doctor Who, this episode of Doctor Who, as being something slightly different, right? It felt very real. It felt very down to earth, very grounded compared to some of those moments with previous companions where they're either 5, 6, 7 years removed, or they just don't seem like they're a real person by the time we see them in the episode. But Bill felt very real to me.
So the doctor has been teaching at this university for 50 years. Is that right?
That. Yes, I love that.
I'm cool with that.
Like, how long have you been teaching here? Some people say 50 years, and he's like, yeah, but I mean, your question is, I don't look that old, right?
Yeah, like, she wasn't surprised. Because yeah. She was like, well, what are you, like 70 or something like that? And he's like, he's expecting her to say, you don't look 70, but she never went there.
Yeah.
That was great. I mean, this is a better use of his time than spending 300 years in a town called Christmas, let me tell you. At least he's educating the youth. But no, I think this is a kind of a cool, like, we've seen the doctor as a teacher previously when he had to become John Smith.
Yep.
And he kind of slips into that role. He is, you know, the doctor is this man that makes sense as a teacher, you know, who what better teacher than somebody who has traveled all of space and time.
Yeah.
So I thought this is a really cool thing to do with this character. And I don't know if it's going to give him like a home base. Like, is he going to be hopping back and forth and coming back and still lecturing? Or is this just a, you know, first episode thing and then he goes on and kind of leaves it behind?
And you know what? If they did do something where, like, every episode he gives this summary lecture of what just took place in the episode, I would love that. Like, his monologue lecture in this episode where he's talking about time and time doesn't really pass. It's an illusion and life is the magician and everything is just an individual picture and pictures don't really move. It's just when you put them together. And like hit that. That was such an awesome monologue. Again, coupled with watching Bill serve chips and just all these mundane things. I would love it if that showed up in more than one episode. I mean, going back to the episode, goodness, not Blink, but Listen, where he gives that like same lecture as far as why do we talk to ourselves? That's something that Capaldi does such a good job of doing, is just delivering these monologues where he's talking out loud and he's educating at the same time. Yeah, I loved that part of this episode. But I'm really go for it. Sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say, how cool does the TARDIS look in his office? Just sitting in the corner like that. That's so cool.
It's like a pop vinyl on someone's desk, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love his explanation. Like, he had him take the wall out and a crane pulled it up into the office. But yeah, it's the most bizarre thing, you know, but he's just, you know, he's a doctor. He's got his vehicle parked over there in the corner.
With the out of order sign on it.
Like, I want that. I want that somewhere in my home. You know, yeah. I want someone to build a TARDIS inside my house now.
Oh, there's so many places that we could go.
Yeah, go ahead, pick one.
So many places. What I'm curious though, because 50 years at the university, right? And there's the vault. And that is one of those open-ended, unanswered questions that I have a feeling is going to haunt us for a vast majority of the series, right? There's the vault in the university, and he's been there for 50 years trying to keep people away from it. What's in the vault?
Is this going to be like the new crack in space? I mean, that we, right? It's going to be a thread that continues on through the whole series, you think? And then we find out at the end?
Is Moffat finally bringing back something that has made previous seasons so good? Like, there's this haunting element that stays there throughout different episodes moving forward. And then we finally get this grand conclusion. Like, is that what we're finally getting with the vault?
Maybe.
I sure hope so.
Or maybe Danny Pink's in there.
I've been trying to think of, like, based on what we've seen just in the teaser for all of the season, like, is there something that we've already seen in the vault? Is Gallifrey in the vault? Or is John Sim is the master?
The master's in there.
Is Missy in the vault? Like, what's in this vault?
I don't know. Like, they tease us with it, and then you have this entity that is kind of the bad guy throughout the whole episode, where he's like, are they after us or are they after the vault? You know, and
yeah.
But it turns out they were not after the vault. They were just after Bill. So yeah, it is an open ended mystery.
And we have that wonderful moment where there's banter between Bill and the Doctor, where again we get another peek at Bill's character, where she's able to just flat out tell the Doctor, we already know you're wrong, like, it's been here for so long, why wouldn't they have just done it? Another solid moment.
And you, well, so of course we get the moment, the classic moment of a companion first seeing the TARDIS, entering the TARDIS, traveling in the TARDIS. And they always have to come up with creative ways to make it a little unique, so they're not all just saying the same thing. I thought they did a pretty good job with this. I like how the Doctor was getting frustrated that she was taking so long to kind of come around. And he's like, does it usually take this long?
Yes.
To Nardole.
Is it my imagination, or is this taking longer than it should?
Yeah, right. That was a great line. And she finally does give the, it's bigger on the inside, though.
Yeah, and Nardole gets this huge smile on his face, and he's like, we've got there. And he shakes the Doctor's hand, and the Doctor just kind of like rolls his eyes. I've seen different things come up over the past few days where it's like Nardole has yet to justify his reason for being there, whether it's the Christmas special or the single episode. And yet he was – I mean, we exchanged a few messages about this as well. Like, he, to me, the moments where he said something, he said the perfect thing in those moments. I have no problem with him being the valet to the Doctor at this point. The different things that he said when he said it, I loved it. He, to me, he was a welcome addition to the Doctor and Bill.
Yeah, he's kind of the comic relief. The reason for him to be there is there is no, I don't feel like they need to really explain it in my mind. The reason he's there is because they really like this actor and they thought they could give him a bigger role. That's really what it comes down to. And I think he did great in the two Christmas specials he's been in, and I think he's a good choice for this. I mean, we have one season left with Capaldi. Why not try something different? He's never had a companion quite like Nardole. He's never had one that's almost like his assistant in this way. So I think it's funny. I think he's really funny. He's he gets the little quick one-liners here and there. He seems to almost challenge the doctor sometimes, where the doctor always thinks he's so smart, but then Nardole will say something like, "Oh, you're wrong about that," I think it's funny.
Yeah, and I feel like again he's just another tool to direct the viewer. Basically, he says the viewer's thoughts, right? There was the moment where I feel like we're glazing over so much of the story, but I mean the story to me was pretty good, but it wasn't like this amazing story. It was more about the characters to me. But we get this part where Bill and Heather, who has become the autopilot oil puddle by the end of the episode, the girl with the star in her iris, where they connect and then they go apart, and the doctor was like, "Oh, she's fine," and walks away from Bill, and Nardole says, just like the doctor, he never notices the tears. Like those moments where it again, as a viewer, it just draws your attention back to something that really really does matter, right? That's the character of the doctor traditionally. He kind of just keeps, at least Capaldi, he plows forward no matter what else has happened, no matter how the character has changed or developed. He kind of continues to plow past different things that might have impacted others.
So you mentioned Heather, kind of our, so that she's the girl that catches Bill's eye, and then leads her to danger.
By having her look into a
But
puddle.
she has a cool star in her eye, though. But yeah, wow, beautiful girl, though. Like, man, maybe she could be the next companion.
Hey there.
I mean, like Bill, she caught my eye as well.
I was just concerned about what was wrong with her eye. Like as soon as they showed her in the lecture hall, like I was like, something's weird with her eye. I thought she was gonna be like a Cyberman or something.
Yeah, when they showed the eye thing, I was thinking, okay, this is a tip off. Maybe she's, an alien or whatever. It turned out the eye thing wasn't anything other than just a imperfection, I guess, that she was going to get fixed. It's the reason why she was able to notice something was wrong with the puddle, but there was no alien entity at that time that was affecting her. So it was just it looked cool though. It had like a cool look to the eye. I don't know. Why would you get that
Yeah,
changed?
and it's one of those things where like when the eye looks up through the drain in the shower, like
Oh
just
gosh.
that eye, that's a little bit that would be concerning. Or when you look in the Daleks stock and all you see is that eye, like the eye really had no point other than to be that distinguishing feature.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, the creepiness of this episode, like this is how to make creepy Doctor Who. Don't give us booger monsters. Like this, you have this she was freaky, man. Like she would just kind of show up out of nowhere and she's kind of in the shadows and water starts kind of pouring out of like her mouth and stuff. Like I was just like, holy
Her
cow.
eyes, her mouth, and
Yeah, this is like a horror movie at some parts. It was really creepy.
yeah, I again, like I feel like we've been given the lead up to certain episodes where it's like, ooh, this is creepy. Ooh, this is going to be the scariest episode. And yet it's the minor things of Doctor Who, right? It's the underplayed elements, like having her just standing there soaking wet and more water coming off of her head and her face than what really should have been there. Like it's those elements that I've always found to be the most enjoyable and probably the creepiest of Doctor Who. Like the empty shower, like that entire moment where Bill's like, who's in there? Like, Barry, is that you? And then no one's there. Like that built anxiety. That was a fun aspect of this episode, as opposed to it being like, oh, a creepy eye booger monster. Like,
and I really liked how it showed the vulnerability of Bill's character, because like you were saying, she seemed a little needy. She, you know, just like at first sight, she gets her big crush on this girl, where she's willing to kind of follow her into this dark, scary place with, you know, a puddle. You know, you're not doing that for just anybody. You know, she really had kind of a thing for her. And I don't know. I like that about Bill's character. I think her character is going to be a little bit more sensitive. You know, I think she's going to be the type of character that gets emotional, and you're going to see some tears from her, but not in a pathetic way. Just she's the type of person that can get really attached to people and be affected emotionally. And I like that about her.
Yeah. We'll see how it's fleshed out. But I gotta tell you, like, seeing Bill stand there as creepy girl shows up underneath the tree dripping wet, and Bill wants to hold a conversation. Yeah. It's like, no, Bill, you have to learn.
Do you run. Not realize?
Like, yeah. Just flip and run. Like, don't even try to hold a conversation. Like, it's not worth it.
Well, even at the end, where the doctor kind of figures everything out and he's like, this isn't her anymore. Bill still gives her a chance. You know, she still reaches out and kind of entwines their fingers with her and kind of gets that whole vision where this entity is trying to convince her to go along with her. And Bill kind of thinks about doing it. You know, she still wants to have a connection with this girl, even though the girl is gone.
Yeah. And okay, so we've already said clingy, possibly like longing for relationships of one sort or another. But in that moment, that somewhat shows the hidden strength of Bill, right? Like, here she's being tempted to see everything with someone that she wanted to be with, and yet she's willing to say no. That takes strength. So she is that, like, that interesting character who both is going to probably be the one that builds relationships and gets attached, but yet is also strong enough to pull back even if it hurts.
Yeah, and in a weird way, this entity was almost kind of like a way of mirroring the Doctor, where he is this entity that travels, has the ability to travel through time and space, and he's looking for a companion, which I thought was kind of interesting that they kind of presented it that way, where it's almost like Bill was choosing between traveling through time and space with a puddle monster or with a Doctor. she chose correctly, I believe. I thought that was kind of an interesting dynamic,
which kind of brings us to the end of the episode, where the Doctor essentially threatens to mind wipe Bill, and then Bill convinces him otherwise, which, by saying, imagine if someone were to do something like this to you. And did you hear Clara's song play at that moment?
So was it, though? I thought so I think Bill's song, or her kind of music cue, is similar to Clara's, but with some changes. So I thought it was just them playing Bill's.
Oh, I could have sworn that was the I'll go back and watch it again, but I'm fairly certain that was the Impossible Girl like theme.
I think
that plays.
Well, you could be right. I'm not great at recognizing music cues, but I think that, because I remember when they first played some sort of a music cue that sounded unique to Bill, I remember thinking that it sounded very similar to the Impossible Girl theme, but with some variation. So I didn't know if they were kind of going for this, you know, new theme with Bill, but it's supposed to be reminiscent of the old theme, or if maybe you're right, they're just kind of reused it. But I don't know. I feel like they would want something unique for her.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I think in that moment, and that's probably why I thought it was, is that when she says, imagine if someone did this to you, when he's in the diner, that's what he's playing on his guitar, right? The song that never leaves you, though you don't know what it's associated with. And it's like, I thought that was the callback right there. But I'll have to go back and watch it. But, and then as he's standing there, as Bill runs out, and he's essentially yells at both Susan and River, saying like, I can't do this. Like, I made a promise. I want to know who he made the promise to. But saying that he can't take on another companion, right? He didn't want one. He was just going to be your tutor, and then he shows up outside.
Yeah, that was so the scene where the doctor shows up with the TARDIS. That was maybe the coolest like visual that they had in the entire episode. Cuz he's got the TARDIS, he's standing there, the door's kind of cracked open, and you see this like really cool mist kind of going behind the TARDIS, and the TARDIS is cracked open just enough that you can see like the console lights shining through, and you're getting just the right amount of lens flare off of that, you know, just showing kind of that potential behind him that she could enter into. I don't know, I thought it was really well thought out and well designed, a well designed moment. That was like one of those moments where I was like, this is why Doctor Who is so cool. Like, this is the kind of imagery you don't get in any other shows, you know. You know, a misty forest behind a modern spacecraft that is hidden inside of a police box. I mean, come on, this is awesome.
And he snaps his fingers.
Yes.
And the TARDIS doors open.
Yep. I was loving it. That moment, I remember kind of when it all, that was happening and it kind of all ended up, I'm like literally started clapping. I was like, yes, it is back. This is Doctor Who. Yes. I love it.
It honestly, end of the episode, this was a really, really good episode. It's exactly what I needed to kick off series one. I mean, series 10 episode.
It felt kind of like a series one.
It honestly did.
Does it make you more sad about Capaldi leaving now? Because you're just starting to see the potential of where he could go.
Yeah, I think if this season, the series continues this direction, it's gonna hurt really bad, right? Because we've said it multiple times. At the end of Matt Smith's run, we were like, okay, it's kind of getting old. His shtick, like we're ready. Capaldi feels like this series, he might hit his stride, and his stride might be really, really good.
It's like they worked out all the kinks, you know?
Yeah.
With his first two seasons, and now suddenly they're going to nail it, and then they're going to take him away from us.
Again, what story elements are holding him back, right? There's no baggage at this point. Nothing that has happened in the previous 2-3 series matter, right? It's a clean slate. Moffat doesn't have to be beholden to any of that. He can do whatever he darn well pleases at this point. And with this fresh start, Moffat even is looking really good right now.
Yeah, that's one thing I will say for Moffat. He can write some really good dialogue. This episode had some great lines, some great back and forth between the characters. The line where Nardo was like, he never notices the tears. I was like, oh, damn. That was such a good line. And she's like, I don't think they're mine. And I'm like, oh, wow. They even topped it with a better line.
There were so many of those like little exchanges, because when they land in Australia and Bill runs to the bathroom, and the doctor follows her in, and the doctor only says, what can I do to help? Like, when have we ever had Capaldi's doctor ask that? And then the exchange that takes place after that, where basically Bill's saying, none of this makes sense. And the doctor's just like, just taking it and explaining, like, there were so many of these amazing pockets of dialogue amongst all of the other story elements that were pushing the episode forward. That's, yeah, Moffat writes pretty darn good dialogue.
Yeah, I think we'll miss that. But I'm going to not give Chibnall a chance. But I think as much as I like to give the Moffat stuff a hard time, the moments where you get some of these just perfect lines for the doctor, or perfect lines for a companion, that's where he really shines. And I think that will probably be something we lose when we lose Moffat.
Yeah.
So.
And Capaldi delivers them. Yeah. I read that someone refers to Moffat as the Grand Moff. I thought that was an interesting way to refer to him. Moving forward.
That's funny. I'm sure we'll get some Moffat moments that I'll be able to cringe at later in the season. You know, he won't disappoint.
The question is, will they be Moffat moments or will they be Gaddis moments?
Yes. Yeah. Let's just start blaming Gaddis for everything.
Gaddis made him do it.
He's earned it. He's earned that. He still needs to redeem himself in my eyes. But, all right. Well, I think we both liked that episode. It sounds like that we both really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, the Doctor's back. We have a solid companion. Nardal is pretty darn good, and the story's heading a great direction.
So before we wrap up, let's talk about the teaser trailer, or that we could call it. I guess it's kind of a teaser for what's coming up in the rest of the season. And then we got some preview images, official preview images, not set images, from Smile. Which is that the next episode? Smile?
7:20 p.m. Saturday.
Okay. So we get a little bit of a peek into what to expect, although we've seen a lot of that stuff already in the trailer. But let's see. Do you want to do the teaser or the promo picks first? Let's do the promo picks.
Cool.
I like how I asked you and then chose. promo picks. So, yeah, So this is the episode with the emoji face robots that they actually look like they're pretty short.
Yeah.
Little robots. I don't know why in the trailer when I saw them, I thought they were going to be like human size. But then when you see the doctor talking to one, it's kind of a little guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, emoji face seems kind of silly. Not sure, you know, what I'm going to think about all that stuff, but we don't get a lot going on here. We get some fields of grain, sterile buildings, and a guy with a gun.
Yeah.
What do you pull from that?
Well, I'm pulling from the next episode as well, where I believe this is a colony, if I'm remembering correctly, like one of Earth's first colonies, and the doctor says that they were expecting a Garden of Eden, and little did they realize they were to be the fertilizer, which sounds pretty scary. But yeah, these little emoji robots seem pretty darn deadly.
Kind of reminds me of the episode where Amy Pond gets really old.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Again, that very sterile look, you're right.
And the robots that were trying to kill them.
Yep.
So yeah. Maybe Samurai Amy will show up.
Doubt it.
Doubt it, yeah.
It also, like, for some reason, the faces of the robots remind me of Silence in the Library, where the people's faces were on the little kiosks.
Oh, yeah.
But that, I mean, very vaguely. I don't know. The whole scene of, like, the doctor standing in the field and the robot walking through the field, like, there's... I was pretty down on the idea of emoji robots when I first heard of it. And I think both of us were fairly negative about the idea. But again, the style of this episode, even in the promo pics, like the style looks noticeably different than what we've seen before.
Yeah, it looks pretty. I'm still down on the idea of emoji robots, though. I'm not jumping on board with you on that one yet. It looks stupid.
I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, if you would have told me that we would have spent the entire last episode talking about a autopilot oil puddle, that would have sounded pretty bad to me as well. But kind of like the last episode, it wasn't really about the big bad in the episode. It was all about the characters. So hopefully this one rides heavy on the characters and not so much the emoji robots.
And they even have the kind of the big promo pick at the top of this this article that we're looking at for the promo picks, which is on Doctor Who TV. Give them credit.
Yep.
The they're taking a selfie, so you know they went all in on this stuff.
all in.
But yeah, so we did get a teaser trailer. You know what? I'm gonna propose something because just so it's fresh in our minds, I think we should both watch it really quick because it's very short.
Yep.
And then let's talk about it.
Okay.
So we just watched the trailer and we get the opening scene and Bill is kind of on this like ring looking station. So that's, you know, so we're going to get the sci-fi element, the space travel, Who knows what that is related to, but it looked cool. Any thoughts on that? No?
No. I mean, it's Bill looking out of a window in a space ring.
And then we get the guy that says, he says, what does he say to the doctor? You're the one that should be afraid.
Yep.
And the doctor's like, never. But that guy looked cool. He looked, maybe we get a kind of going back in time kind of character. He's got like almost like medieval looking armor.
Yeah. I mean, there is going to be the episode where they are fighting the thing that lives in the Thames.
I do like, I will say this, although it's kind of off subject, I like the look of the doctor with the hoodie and the suit coat. It's, kind of a, it's a good look for him.
He stole it from me. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He stole my look.
That's what. regeneration, possibly. That's kind of weird that they show that so early. We've gotten a couple images now of the doctor possibly regenerating.
Yeah. That, I think that's the biggest thing that sticks out to me is the regeneration. He's flanked by two guards that have triangles on their shoulders, and there's a little figure on the desk, and there's a picture of someone on the wall. But like, he's freely giving up regeneration energy, or is he legitimately regenerating?
It's like he's got a lot of extra energy now, though, because remember when Smith regenerated, the Time Lords were just like, here, have as much as you want.
Yeah.
So like, maybe he can just like use it for stuff now.
I guess. I don't know.
Which I don't know if I'd like that like willy-nilly use of it. It should be a little bit more special.
Maybe this is legitimately him regenerating. Maybe they're just throwing us off.
Maybe. Cybermen, so we get kind of like, and we had heard about it coming, but the Cybermen, not the way we're used to seeing them. We get kind of the classic look, I guess, the way they first showed up.
Well, there's, before you jump to the Cybermen, there's like a brief frame,
okay,
right before the Cybermen of,
oh yeah, like
some
zombie
pretty
dudes.
Freaky looking space zombies, and that's the ring that Bill was in.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I just paused it on that, and they look like space zombies.
And those are legitimately like freaky looking space zombies.
That's scary looking. Oh, yeah, good catch.
That's troublesome.
And then we get the creepy Cybermen with like then balloon faces.
Yeah, they're the classics, the Mandalorian Cybermen.
I don't know how I feel about this. Sometimes I would think maybe some of these classic designs need to stay in the classic series. they're so odd looking. But I do like the idea of them kind of tying it in. Maybe we get an explanation as to why they look different.
We had a user on listener on our Facebook page that was wondering our thoughts about the return of these Cybermen.
Okay, well, there's our thoughts. It was like 5 seconds.
our 5 second sound clip on these Cybermen. You know what? They are weird enough looking that I'm interested in having them show up. Like, there's so many images within this teaser trailer alone that have me somewhat freaked out. Like, I'm not really looking forward to some of these things, space zombies, weird looking Cybermen. And then this next frame that shows up in the trailer where like beetles are eating a man. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Like, almost, yeah. Like beetles or leech like character or like leech like creatures that are crawling up his back. Yeah. And that's another really freaky thing.
So there's that episode with the guy who plays Hercule Poirot. He was supposed to be the leaser, the lodger, not the lodger, not the leaser, the landlord, where they investigate the wood lice underneath the floorboards. I'm wondering if that's what's eating this dude.
Oh, that's you nail it. That's gotta be what it is.
Pretty darn freaky. Like, do you remember the scarab beetles from the Mummy movie?
Yep.
Yeah, I had nightmares about those for like a month after I watched that movie. Yep. No, thank you.
There you go. Missy in front of a castle with guys that look like Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Knights of Ren show up.
Knights
in
of Ren
Doctor
showed
Who.
Up in Doctor Who.
Yeah. I'll take it.
So interesting. Not sure where that's going, but they have like these really cool looking spears. It actually looks like a futuristic place that has a castle, though, because there's some decor that looks a bit futuristic.
Yep. Time Lords.
Bill hiding under a table with a bunch of dynamite.
Yeah, I think that's probably the space station still with the zombie spacemen.
Got to kill those zombies with that dynamite.
I think a lot of these are from, because there was the one where the doctor was hitting a panel on a door. I think that's probably the same space station.
We get a scene where the doctor's kind of running out into the street, and one of those same guys with the triangle on his outfit's kind of following him.
Yep, and look at the symbol on the poster board. It looks like the top of some of those symbols that Missy had, with the guys that had her.
Look at us tying things together, man. I
Are we
didn't think
having a
there was
war
gonna
of two factions?
I didn't think we were gonna have enough to talk about for this little teaser, but we're really picking this thing apart now.
Frame by frame.
This is why I wanted to bring it up. The doctor's suit looks very tattered,
He just regenerated, that's why.
into himself. He
To
pulled a
himself.
Tenet. He's like, no, I like this face.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Bill's hair behind him. Is that
Is
Bill?
that
It's
Bill?
down.
Oh,
It's
that
not a
is
girl.
Bill. Yeah, she's got her hair kind of down. She's not rocking the cool, puffed out look.
Huh. Interesting.
What else we got? So he's standing in a place that looks like Ireland, maybe. Lots of
Yep.
stones and green grass.
That's where he says that he's been standing at the gate to this world,
Yeah.
keeping it safe.
Oh, we got another zombie thing with
Oh,
the.
dang, those things are gonna mess me up.
Yeah, it's like Walking Dead in space.
I have honestly watched the first episode of Walking Dead for 3 years, and I
You
just
can't get
finished
past
it. No, I just finished it, so.
it.
And I'm not gonna watch episode two. I can't take it. He's stuck in the tank. He'll be in the tank forever.
No, he won't.
Yep, he's there.
Glenn saves him. Spoiler alert. So the what is this?
The Ice Warriors.
Ice Warrior, yeah. Okay. I didn't like the Ice Warrior episode they did earlier, so
Yeah.
not sure they needed to bring him back again. The doctor's new Sonic is all lit up there, and he's looking through like a cage or a
Oh, is that what that
fence.
is?
Yeah, that's the top of his Sonic.
I thought that was like the light of Arendelle from.
Or that.
He's the Hobbit. He has the light to be seen in the dark places. Shelob's gonna come get him. But,
Then we get some flashes of some other things that are all
Bill
looks like,
Hagenardle, him
yeah.
taking off his. Oh, you know what? The one he's a scuba diver. That's gonna be from the Thames episode. He's taking off his helmet after jumping in the Thames.
And then
Really creepy smile.
it kind of jumps to the big reveal of the master, John Sim, the new look for the master. He's got kind of like a, we're used to seeing the master, at least this version of the master, where he dresses in, a suit, or modern clothes. I think he even has a hoodie at some point. But he looks like he's got some kind of robe on, maybe like a Gallifreyan robe.
I was going to say, Time Lord robe,
Yeah.
possibly.
Looking a
That's a
little
hint.
older. He's got kind of the goatee going on, which is kind of a master thing from the classic series. And I've always thought that he looks like the guy who plays John Watson from Sherlock.
Okay.
I used to think they were the same actor. But in this scene,
That's
he does
just
really
too.
look like him because he's got kind of the same hair and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, master reveal.
He's
Pretty
aged.
cool. But that's it, I think, pretty much.
Yeah, that's it.
So teaser, I think it looks like some pretty cool stuff. I like the creepiness. I like when Doctor Who gets creepy. The space zombies. I think that's gonna be a crazy episode. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I think that might. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. The eating of the man in the zombies, those might not be my favorite
Do
episodes.
we do, so Gatiss is writing an episode again? Do we know which one?
He is writing an episode. I don't know which one, but it's guaranteed to be the scariest episode that you'll ever watch.
Okay. Maybe that's the one with the zombie people.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That's what they say
That's what
every
they say
episode he
every year.
writes. Yeah, I don't know what his episode is. I don't have my list in front of me.
All right, well, I think that's our news
The
review.
Empress of Mars.
Empress of Mars, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the Empress of Mars is Missy, and she's on that planet with like the castle, but it's also
Oh,
futuristic.
those are definitely Martians. Yep.
Martians that look like Kylo Ren.
Yep. All Martians look like Kylo Ren. They're all Knights of
The
Ren.
Knights of Ren. Gotta get in the Star Wars reference. But yeah, so that's I think that's it. I think that's it for us. We covered a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be back.
We are back, and
we have t-shirts now.
We have t-shirts,
which
now.
I know you're really excited about.
I am really excited about the t-shirts.
Yeah, so if anybody's ever interested in getting a Bad Wolf Radio t-shirt that you could wear to a convention or something like that, I'm going to get one. I don't know if you're going to get one, Adam. You probably should.
I'm going to get one, and I want to get a laptop sticker, and I want to get a coffee mug.
Yeah, I will. I can say that because I'm using – so this is on TeePublic, which is pretty much just a website for people like us that you can put up a design, and people can purchase that design. We're not, you know, we don't have them up there so we can make a ton of money off of it, because you don't. We may sell 3 or 4 shirts. So
yes.
The idea is just to give people the opportunity to purchase a shirt if they want. And we can promise that any money we make from it, which may be $1 or $2, will go back into the show. But I think it would be cool to offer that to people. And I'm going to get one for myself. I've always wanted to have a Bad Wolf Radio t-shirt that I could wear to conventions and stuff. But I can't speak to at least the quality of the shirt. I ordered one for one of my other podcasts, and just as kind of a test run to see how it fit and if I liked it. And, I did actually really like the shirt. I think it's a good quality shirt. And, I sprung for the higher quality. They do like a tri-blend as opposed to just the standard shirt. And I'll say that it was actually worth the extra money, because the tri-blend is like really comfortable.
Awesome.
So if you're gonna get one, Adam, I recommend going for the tri-blend as opposed to the standard shirt. But
it is not an if, it is a when I get
when
one.
You get one. Your dad got one, I thought you said, right?
He did. I mean, we
surprised you with it.
He surprised me, and I mean, there was all sorts of outflowing of love the other day over my t-shirt in the podcast. So wow. I'm feeling pretty good about it right
no
now.
Wonder you're feeling like jazzed up about the podcast.
Dang, it's awesome.
So I think it's as simple as going to tpublic.com and searching for Bad Wolf Radio. I think if you do that, it will bring up our shirt. Let me check just to be 100% sure. Yep, first match. So yeah, if anybody's interested, go over to tpublic.com, search in Bad Wolf Radio, and you'll find our shirt there.
Awesome.
A few different colors to pick from. And like Adam said, you can get decals, mugs, such things. I did order some decals too, Adam, so I got one for you. I got to send that to you.
Oh, snap. But, awesome.
But yeah, so wanted to mention that before we closed up. And as usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. If you listen to our show and you haven't left us a review yet and you enjoy us, we'd love for you to head over to iTunes and leave us a nice 5-star review. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook Bad Wolf Radio. You can send us feedback, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And you can always find us on the Pod Tyrant Network over at Geek Tyrant. And until next time,
later days.